The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host... Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Friday, November 18th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the end of the week and in on to the weekend. We're going to have ourselves a good time on today's show because it's our last show before holiday vacation. Taking a vacation for Thanksgiving week here this next following week, and then the week after that, we'll be in Key West for the Key West Legal Seminar with Normal and my 10th anniversary second honeymoon. So that'll be a lot of fun. So gonna take 2 weeks off of the show. In its place, we'll be playing some best of stuff. And I got this great suggestion the other day from the chat room. They said, you ought to play some of the old Chris Goldstein Normal Daily Audio Stashes from before when I was on the show. So, yeah, we'll go back to our original host. I think he's even got an interview with Ron Paul in there that would be, you know, still somewhat topical. So we'll bring that up and see what other stuff we can find. We're also going to be doing some re-records and some fixes of some of the old stuff that's been, just bugging me for the past couple of years here on the show. Finally get some downtime to solve that. So, that's what's happening over the next 2 weeks. We'll be back on December 5th with new shows after that. Now, coming up on today's show, we start off with your hemp headlines. We've got all sorts of interesting headlines on today's show. A new poll out from CBS News on marijuana legalization, but more importantly, in my mind, some of the information it tells us about the public perception of medical marijuana that we really need to watch out for. Copenhagen, Denmark is voting to legalize marijuana, even as Amsterdam and the Netherlands are starting to restrict it a little more. A lawyer in Nebraska tries to get an NE420 license plate. We'll tell you what happened in that case. And in Washington State, John McKay, the former prosecutor, the one that put away Mark Emery, he's actually supporting I-502, the Washington Legalization Initiative. And he spoke to some cops associations up there, police associations in Washington State, who, shall we say, are skeptical about legalization of marijuana. And finally, a $3 pot bust in Lake County and the devastating effects this could have for one young man in California. So we'll get to all of that in our hemp headlines right after the first break. Also on today's show, Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher's Herb Thrasher is here for our Rockin' Friday today. He's going to bring us some music from Green Sky Bluegrass. That'll be very interesting. He'll be calling in. Also, later tonight, there'll be a live edition of Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher with all that great hard and heavy music that you love on your Friday nights. Then we've got Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com joining us at half past to tell us the latest in celebrity entertainment news. And at the end of the show, I'm going to take some time to discuss my dream and my vision of the Normal Network and the future here with Normal. So stick around for that. All coming up next on Normal Show Live.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
You are listening to PodSafe Media.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month. And when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Cannabis Carry has the week off. I'm Radical Russ with your Normal News. A new CBS News poll confirms some troubling data for legalization and medical marijuana proponents. And yes, I meant proponents, not opponents. Listen closely to some of this data here. The latest poll to ask the American people their opinions on medical marijuana and marijuana legalization reveals some disturbing trends for opponents of marijuana prohibition. According to a recent CBS News poll conducted at the end of October, a slim majority of 51% continues to think that marijuana use should be illegal. But support for specifically allowing doctors to prescribe medical marijuana for serious conditions, or legalized medical marijuana, is far stronger. 77% of Americans think that should be allowed. Now, that's so far, that's the good news there, because CBS's poll compares well to the bulk of polls on this issue over the past 2 years, which have ranged from 40% to 46% support for full legalization. It's interesting to note that no news organization has ever shown a poll with majority support for full legalization. The five polls that show 50% or greater come from Zogby, Angus Reid, and Gallup, polling organizations rather than news organizations. Interesting to speculate why they'd get better results in polling organizations than they get in news organizations. And also, whenever we talk about these polls about people supporting legalization, remember, this is someone calling you on the phone randomly, a complete stranger, asking you what you think about illegal drugs, you know, breaking state and federal laws. So, you know, you have to adjust a little bit, figuring a lot of people might not be exactly honest on these. But here's where we get to the disturbing part for medical marijuana proponents. Still, even though most Americans support this, just 3 in 10 believe that the marijuana currently being bought in this country under state-authorized medical marijuana programs is being used in the way it has been authorized for alleviating suffering from serious medical conditions. Now, in previous posts, we've noted the gap between medical only and full legalization has shrunk from 44% to 20% in the Gallup polls. And what that means is the difference between the people that support medical only and the people that support legalization, complete legalization, used to be like 70% for medical and about 30% for full. Full legalization's gone up, medical stayed just about the same, so that gap has shrunk for people that only believe in medical marijuana. Now, this CBS poll shows that 77% nationwide, shows 77% support nationwide for, quote, "Do you think doctors should be allowed to prescribe small amounts of marijuana for patients suffering from serious illnesses," end quote, but also shows only 31% of the country believes, quote, marijuana that is being purchased in this country through state-authorized medical marijuana programs is being used to alleviate suffering from serious medical illnesses, end quote. Majorities of Republicans and independents, by 62% and 51% respectively, and a plurality of Democrats, 44%, believe, quote, most of it is being used for other reasons, end quote. Now, some of those people who think that medical marijuana may be used for other reasons may also be supporters of legalization. So they may recognize that people are getting through the cracks with medical marijuana, but they don't care. But what I'm saying here is, given this perception, this increasing now majority perception, 52% of the people surveyed thought that the medical marijuana being purchased in this country through state-authorized medical marijuana programs is being used for other reasons, not to alleviate suffering. I think this is a bellwether here in explaining the declining support in medical marijuana voting. As we've seen, Arizona only get 50%, South Dakota drop by 12 points from 48 to 36%, Oregon unable to pass a dispensary measure, because now we're seeing a majority of the people perceive of medical marijuana as not just being for the sick and dying. Now, as usual, people between the ages of 18 and 29 support legalization at 52%, as do liberals at 66%. Greatest support geographically is again found in the West at 48%. But surprisingly, the Midwest beats the Northeast by 43 to 41 in support, and independents have greater support for legalization than Democrats by 48 to 45%. Also, as usual, and still vexing for legalization proponents, is the gender gap of 11 points between men and women. Men support legalization at 46%, women support it at 35%. We've seen this in the Gallup polls, and almost every poll that brings this up, that breaks it down by gender, shows between an 8 and 11 point gap in the support for marijuana legalization between men and women. I encourage everyone to check out the Normal Women's Alliance at normal.org/women to check out our strategies and communications programs to reach out to women to help make up that gender gap. From the Telegraph in the UK, Copenhagen votes to legalize marijuana. The scheme, if approved by the Danish Parliament at the start of next year, could make the city the first to fully legalize rather than simply tolerate marijuana consumption, as they do in Amsterdam and the rest of the Netherlands. The drug is already sold openly in the streets of Christiania, a self-proclaimed free town in the city center, despite the closure of the neighborhood's Amsterdam-style coffee shops in 2004. But marijuana has never been officially decriminalized, and those caught in possession of even small amounts face fines of up to £450. Quote, "We are thinking of perhaps 30 to 40 public sales houses where the people aren't interested in selling you more, they're interested in you," said Mikkel Warming, the mayor in charge of social affairs at Copenhagen City Council. "Who is better for youngsters to buy marijuana from? A drug pusher who wants them to use more, who wants them to buy hard drugs, or a civil servant?" The city council voted on Thursday night by a margin of 39 votes to 9 to empower Mr. Warming's Social Affairs Committee to draw up a detailed outline on how the plan would work. The proposal will then be sent to the Danish Parliament for approval early next year. Quote, "We want to make it a little bit more concrete what kind of decriminalization we want. Should it be a public buying system? Should there be an age limit?" Mr. Warming explained. He said he was opposed to instituting cannabis cafes where marijuana use is tolerated, despite it being illegal to grow and import the drug. This, he argued, would leave the revenues, which are estimated at £200 million, in the control of the city's notorious biker gangs. "We don't want an Amsterdam model. We want a way to make it legal to import or grow marijuana." So it looks like the Danes are moving forward with some sensible legislation here in their city, and recognizing that the Netherlands policy might have had some flaws and trying to work their ways around that. But it's just good to see that all around the world, people are starting to recognize that any sort of legalization scheme is better than the prohibition scheme we're under now. From the McCook Daily Gazette, license plate dispute accomplishes goal of spotlighting marijuana petition. Holbrook attorney Frank Shoemaker's attempt to place Nebraska 420 on the license plates of his van and the Nebraska Department of Motor Vehicles rejection has brought on a lawsuit by the American Civil Liberties Union and a slew of comments on the Gazette's website. 16 states and the District of Columbia have legalized some form of marijuana use, he said. This is a conversation happening around the country, so how can Nebraska say it's illegal to even talk about it here? The problem is that the number 420 is associated with pot smoking, as a time, date, or place to light up, as well as a list of references ranging from a children's poem, 420 Blackbirds, Baked in a Pie, to Hitler's Birthday and the Columbine Massacre. The extent to which some small-town news editors will go to try to demonize cannabis smoking sometimes knows no bounds. Is there anybody out there, when you say 420, they go, oh yeah, 420, Hitler's birthday? Is there anyone out there when you say, hey, 420, it's the Columbine Massacre, yay? Nobody associates 420 with those dates other than noting that those were the dates those things happened. But it's not like of any cultural significance. If you were to draw an association cloud of 420 and what it was associated with, marijuana would be in huge block letters. Hitler, Columbine Massacre, 420 Blackbirds would be little tiny letters. It's irrelevant, and it's being used here for is to demonize cannabis smoking. Now, that association probably doesn't do Shoemaker and other proponents of legalized marijuana any good. He has submitted a proposed ballot initiative to the Nebraska Secretary of State's office, which will need to collect valid signatures from 10% of the state's registered voters, or more than 112,000 before July 7th. No one is saying Shoemaker can't talk about the issue on his van. A photo accompanying the ACLU release shows it's already carrying a number of messages promoting the issue. It's just that the state has a policy against vanity plates that, quote, express, connote, or imply objectionable, obscene, or offensive words or phrases. Now, of course, the controversy over the issue already kind of gets him what he wanted anyway, the free publicity on the marijuana issue. It's funny to me how powerful our symbols are that they require censorship by the government. The simple number 420 or a picture of a cannabis leaf is so offensive, so terribly destructive to society, it cannot be mentioned or even seen. All right, that's Now, as we look into Washington State, we have a pot measure is a tough sell at COP conference coming from the Seattle Times. Former U.S. Attorney John McKay, the unlikely champion of marijuana legalization, joked that he was about to be fed to the lions. Then he walked on stage and tried to convince about 130 sheriffs and police chiefs that he was not crazy. For 90 Minutes Wednesday, the former federal prosecutor from Seattle blasted drug laws as failed, antiquated policies that were a limitless cash machine for murderous organized crime syndicates feeding America's seemingly bottomless appetite for marijuana. A few in the audience, a gathering of the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs at the Lake Chelan Resort, nodded. But mostly the picture was one of frowns beneath mustaches. I like the stereotype of the cop stash. Gotta love that. In the end, the cops voted as expected. They unanimously recommended rejection of Initiative 502, a measure headed to the legislature or to voters next November that would legalize, tax, and regulate small marijuana sales similarly to alcohol. It's an amazing post up here. What's really fun about it is John McKay debating Kevin Sabet, the noted prohibitionist. It's so sad for Sabet. He used to only have to debate potheads like me, and now he's having to debate a former U.S. attorney. I guess we're winning. And finally, sad story of a marijuana arrest mess from the Lake County Record B, Middletown, California. A former Lake County athletic star was hauled off to the Hooskow after an alleged $3 changed hands in a marijuana deal on Tuesday. Bo Leighton Schaefer, age 18, was a standout player on the varsity boys basketball team at Middletown High School, earning all-county most valuable player honors following the 2010-11 season. He graduated from Middletown last June. This week, he and three of his friends found themselves in a Lake County jail where they were booked on charges of selling marijuana, possession of marijuana for sales, conspiracy to commit a crime, and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. None of the four have any criminal record, and all have clean driving records, according to the Lake County District Attorney's Office. So, in case you're wondering, this 18-year-old fresh college graduate with the sparkling clean record and honors as a valuable basketball player, this 18-year-old for $3 worth of marijuana transaction in the state of California is facing a felony charge. That's right. A sale of any amount of marijuana, even $3 of marijuana, is a felony where you can get 2 to 4 years in prison. Now, any amount to a minor over 14 years old, he was hanging out with a 16 and a 17 year old at the time, that increases the felony sentence, felony 3 to 5 years. Now, of course, they make these outrageous felony charges against these kids to get them to cop a plea to something minor, but that's going to ruin this kid's life for scholarships and student loans, and it's just sick. $3. $3 worth of pot. High school kid. It's a damn shame. We got to end this prohibition and end this injustice. Back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
Yar, there be pirates here. Yo, ho, 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 and a ton of good smoke. Har, har.
Okay, class, repeat after me. Am I free to go, officer? I don't consent to any searches, officer. I wish to speak to my attorney before answering any questions, officer. These three phrases may help your attorney keep your ass out of a jail cell someday. So memorize them and use them.
In terms of legalization of drugs, I think that the bail, the war on drugs has been a utter failure.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure, utter failure, utter failure, utter failure.
And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize, criminalize. Our marijuana laws, criminalize our marijuana laws. The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
Criminalize our marijuana laws.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
Criminalize our marijuana laws.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure.
Normal Show Live, where we don't change our position on decriminalization in an election year. It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's daily Toker Tunes.
All right, it's time to get on the co-proponent of the NCAA 50-yard-wide goalpost program. Herb Thrasher's on the line with us. How you doing, Herb?
I'm all for it, man. It looks like my school and your school should get together and do something like that, shouldn't we?
Go recruit a kicker or two. What do you say?
Yeah, well, that's probably a better deal. Probably a little bit easier and within the rules to do that. We'll just recruit a kicker that can kick. That's probably easier. You're right.
Yeah, that's probably a good plan here. So we're heading out to holidays coming up here in the next couple of weeks. And what's happening for you? Are we heading back to Bama for Thanksgiving or anything?
No, we're going to stay in Portland and do our thing here. And we usually go to Alabama for Christmas. So I'll be leaving in December, middle of December sometime, and I'll finish the year off in Alabama there. and then come back and just freaking have a great 2012 year. I'm fired up about it.
Oh, yeah. Things are looking good for Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher, the show that's on tonight. It's live at Friday nights, every Friday night, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern time. We go for a couple hours. We rock pretty hard. And you got some developments coming up, some guests, some concerts, all sorts of cool stuff to tell people about.
Man, we really do. I'm really a little bit surprised and more just so thankful at all the responses we've been getting from a lot of the bands and record labels. And, you know, with them, you know, joining us and allowing us to do what we do, it's just going to make the show that we're trying to do and have planned a whole lot better. And I do have, you know, we've been talking to some people, and we're going to have some interviews like tonight. I'll get to it here in a minute, but the Rockin' Friday band that we have right now tonight, Paul from Green Sky Bluegrass, he's going to call in, and we're going to talk to him a little bit, and we've got a couple interviews lined up for later on and a show already in January, so we're definitely making plans, and we're definitely going to have this show a force, and it's going to be diverse and hopefully something that everyone's going to be able to like.
Folks know from our Weed Maps ad, The Sword, that's one of the bands we're looking forward to, great rockers there, but did I read the email right that we're going to get to see Caius?
Caius, that's right, Caius Lives, Caius, who is just old school, man. I mean, these guys are pretty much the kings of stoner rock. I mean, they really took it to a new level when it was in the 90s and early 2000s, and they're coming to town on Monday, and The Sword is opening up for them, along with Black Tusk from Seattle, I mean, Black Cobra from Seattle, and we're gonna go, man. We're hopefully we're scheduled to meet with Sword, and we're gonna talk to him, interview him, and hopefully we're gonna be able to film a song or two, and just have a great night with those guys.
All right, more rock coming up. Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher, getting a lot of support from the metal community, and that's fantastic. I'm glad this is happening. So let's get to our Rockin' Friday song for today. Let's get our smoke on, and what do you got for us?
Yep, tonight's another great night. Today we have Green Sky Bluegrass, and if you're familiar with bluegrass music, then you're tuned into some what Green Sky Bluegrass does. They're also known to throw a great party, rock, and they have great songs. They're unquestionably a team of friends that traverse the country making music they enjoy. What makes Green Sky different than bluegrass? Poignant rural ballads about real people, dobro sounds that Jerry Douglas or Jerry Garcia would love. Who knows? It's a mixture of things, but they've got it going on. This quintet from Michigan has been staying up late at all the cool festivals and stopping by to play your favorite clubs and theaters across America for 11 years now. Nearly 175 shows later, they're here rocking still again today. And Green Sky Bluegrass isn't slowing down. At the start of the millennium, some of these guys met, then they met more guys. They thought Green Sky was a clever name for a bluegrass band. So I just read this. Green Sky, you know, us at Normal, we're always going to say, green, Well, if you think about it, dude, it's kind of clever, but bluegrass, and so they're saying Green Sky. And so that's kind of where they got their little name from, and it's just a cool little catchy thing, and they just have fun with it. And so now, fast forward to 2011, they've recorded their fourth studio album called Handguns. And among them, the words like proud, killer, and damn right have been spoken in regards to the music. And the song that we have picked out today is Don't Lie. And I think that pretty much speaks for itself on what's going on here. And tonight, they're in Portland. We're going to go see them at the Crystal. We're going to talk with Paul tonight on Normal Rocks. And so you guys tune in, check it out, support Green Sky Bluegrass on their MySpace, Facebooks, and website. And have a great weekend, guys. Rock on.
Right on. This is Green Sky Bluegrass with Don't Lie.
I'm up to. Why can't people stay the same? I don't want to change. It's getting cold again, and there's pain in my fingers. It's the way it's been lately. It could be worse, I figure. Why can't people stay the same? I don't want to change. We're spending, moving ladders where the ceilings ended. It was supposed to be an easy ride, but somebody lied. Don't lie. take to fix. It's hard to ride the wave and balance these days. Find more roads paved, I keep traveling this way. Climbing on death's back and following the current trend. It's what we're chasing, it's why we will run. Find more roads paved, I keep traveling this way. And it doesn't make sense for spending. Moving ladders where the ceiling's ended. It was supposed to be an easy ride, but somebody lied. Don't lie.
Song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Hi, this is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML. We are the oldest, largest, and best-known marijuana law reform organization in America. And it's all because of your support. Take some time to join NORML at www.normal.org. Your membership supports this podcast, our websites, our policy research and analysis, and our annual conferences. Changing marijuana laws is a grassroots effort, and it starts with you, the stakeholder. Join NORML today and add your voice to the millions of cannabis consumers who demand equality with our beer-drinking friends.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com. Marijuana culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news.
All right, we reached an odd Friday, and that means it's time to bring Steve Bloom back from Brooklyn, New York. How you doing, Steve?
Hi, Russ. You calling me odd?
No, the Friday is odd. That's all.
Oh, okay.
You're quite normal.
Hold on, I got a nosy dog.
Oh, I know how that goes. Roscoe, the Jack Russell terrorist. I have to lock him upstairs when I'm doing the show. I totally understand.
Yeah, it's Karen. Actually, it's Craig Council's dog. Craig from Coffee's dog from High Times.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A cannabis cup, and I'm taking care of his animal.
Oh, well, they're all headed out to Amsterdam.
Yeah, him and his wife. Yeah.
Excellent. So you are the dog sitter for the Cannabis Cup. That's really cool.
Well, at least for my neighborhood, anyway.
That's really cool. Hey, yesterday when I got on the air, I got up early in the morning, and of course the N-17 thing was going down. The footage from Portland was unbelievable. We got that famous Oregonian shot now, the woman getting pepper sprayed right in the face. I know you've been covering a lot of what's going on the New York side over there with Occupy Wall Street. I saw your post up about the library. Give us some flavor of what's going on there up in Zuccotti Park and all of the Occupy stuff.
Well, what a week. I mean, I'm sure it's been, what a week. Hold on.
Hey! Stop it.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry about that. Shit went down on Monday night when the police, pulled their surprise raid on Zuccotti Park. And, Zuccotti Park is the epicenter of the Occupy Wall Street movement. I mean, it's spread all over the country, but it started here, and this is where it really commands the most media attention.
Yeah.
And so I look at Zuccotti Park as New York's free speech zone at this point. It's kind of a mecca for free speech. And it's for everybody in New York and anybody who's coming into New York and people from around the world. It's a tourist destination at this point. Well, it was. And I don't know if it will remain because of what they did to the park. They went in there, they shut the media out, they went in, they just, threw everything out. There was tents and bags and sleeping bags and all the belongings. There was the 5,000 book library that they threw away, which has just completely incensed and infuriated me, and of course a lot of other people. I contributed a book to that library, my Pot Culture book, and signed it to them, so I kind of take it personally that they kind of took my book with all the other books and essentially burned it.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's making comparisons to Fahrenheit 451. You know, how do you suppress dissent? Burn books.
Yeah.
Well, this is pretty close to what they did. So, going back to Monday, you know, when I heard the news early in the morning, you know, I went to the park. It was closed. It was, you know, cops had, you know, had taken over the park. Everybody was on the outside trying, looking, waiting to get in. Well, hours and hours and hours went by until I finally opened the park at 5:30 that day. And, you know, there's the media just wants to portray the protesters as violent, you know, unscrubbed, dirty hippie kind of stuff. And, and you know, that's not what I see. I mean, I see a real mixture of people down there from all generations and all races. And there was no violence. There was no attempts to storm the barricades. There was no throwing stuff at the police. There was some verbal abuse to the cops, but nothing. We and everybody else waited for hours to finally get in. And when we got in, it was sort of jubilant. Now they set up some new rules. The rules are no tents, no sleeping bags, no large items, no instruments, no drums, no everything. You know, you can have food in there, fortunately, so they can have a kitchen and serve people. But in the couple of days since then, I haven't been back. I'm going to go after I finish this interview and go back into Zagatti Park. I live in Brooklyn and go visit and see what's happening, because I'm not sure where people are staying now, because I don't know if they're throwing them out if they try and sleep in the park. It's getting cold, too. You don't have tents. You don't have tarps. You know, so how can you really, you know, that's sort of the city's plan, you know, to shut down the park by not making it impossible for people to stay there, just by not allowing them to have things that they can protect themselves with. And so I'm not really sure what the status is. I mean, but I'll tell you, you know, yesterday as a response, it was planned already, and a lot of people think that the eviction was set up to try and deflate the day of action yesterday. Well, it was the opposite. It was probably three, four times larger than it ever would have been. And, you know, I haven't been a big marcher so far. I've more been interested in Zuccotti Park and, you know, making sure that that remains the way it is and it should stay, you know, and protect that, you know, that place, that free speech zone. So that's been my main focus, is going to Zuccotti and just, you know, hanging out with people and just taking in, you know, the whole scenery of what's going on there. But it kind of, like, once they threw everybody out of the park, and I kind of, like, joined in, essentially. You know, I've been sort of an observer as a media, but now I feel like I'm part of it. And when we entered the park, you know, I entered the park not just as an observer, but as a participant, you know. And that night, amazingly, at 6 o'clock, right 5:30, we're in the park. At 6 o'clock, all this food came in. I mean, where it came from, nobody knows. I mean, they know. But, I mean, trays and trays and trays of catered food, pasta, salad, pizza. There was so much food. That's probably why a lot of the homeless people gravitate to the park, because there's so much food.
Sure.
Well, there was probably more than ever. They had so much food just to sort of to celebrate getting back in the park. Plus, people were probably really hungry, standing out there for hours all day long waiting. So it was really a great celebration, a huge general assembly. And then they were literally walking around with trays of food on plates and handing them out to people. It was like waiter service at Occupy Wall Street. It was hysterical. They had so much food. It was great. So you know, that was sort of a good response to all of that. I left at 10 o'clock that night because there was sort of like a curfew that they were kind of throwing around. It was at 10 o'clock, but it really wasn't, and they didn't throw people out. They basically said you can stay in the park 24 hours. You can't sleep, you know. So what are you going to do? You're going to, you know, going to be in the park, you know, at 5 in the morning not sleeping?
Yeah.
So I don't know what exactly is transpiring now. I'll have to let you know, next week or the following week. But so then yesterday was the huge protest. And so it started early in the morning with, you know, you know, going after Wall Street. And there were some, you know, incidents there, you know, with the police and some the arrests and a couple of people bloodied and some, you know, some problems. But what I see is a very peaceful movement here in New York. It's very, very peaceful. I've not seen any, you know, signs of violence any time I've been around. And so yesterday's march was like, okay, I'm going to go march. Finally, I'm going to dive in. I'm going to march. And so I picked up the march as it was coming down from Union Square. And it was a long march heading down to Foley Square. It was huge. Now, the papers today were saying, oh, it was small. It's over. Bullshit. It was huge. And it got bigger and bigger as the march went on, as people kept joining. So, you know, we got down to Foley Square, which is like in shouting distance of City Hall. huge crowds there. I mean, tons of cops, police horses, everything, but not one confrontation. They had a sound system there, you know, played some, you know, little rap and speeches, and then they say, hey, we're going to the Brooklyn Bridge. And then slowly but surely filed, you know, down farther downtown and made it across the Brooklyn Bridge. And it was sort of a jubilant thing. But the beauty of it was, you know, going down there, singing along with people, the chants, the, you know, all, you know, all the unity, the unions, the students, the Latinos, the, you know, all the different people, spectrum of New York. You know, the melting pot of New York was all there. And they want to say it's just one group of people, you know, sort of squatter hippies that are running this whole thing. Not true.
I agree.
You know, that's not what I see. And so, you know, the media, you know, the way they're portraying it in New York, the Daily News, the New York Post, maybe the Times is a little bit better. It's been, you know, a lot of tabloid, you know, attacking of the protesters and, you know, time to go away, get a job, you know, the classic bullshit get a job line.
Right.
And, you know, and so, okay. So before that yesterday, long day yesterday, okay, so the library was confiscated. The question is, what happened to the library? 5,000 books. I donated my book, and so I took it personally, and I decided to go to the sanitation depot where they had taken all the belongings, all the tents, everything that was basically trashed. You might have seen the photo on my site already. It's a wreck.
But nobody got a chance to get their stuff out of the park before this happened?
No, they just came in. They didn't want anybody to know because the last time they gave notice that they were going to clean the park, you know, there was, you know, they gave notice and there was a big, you know, turnout of people to try and stop it. So this time they kind of sort of knew better if that's what their plan was, was to not tip their hand.
Gotcha.
They didn't tip their hand. They came in the middle of the night. They kept the media blocks away. The media didn't see anything of what they were doing. They were, you know, forcibly removing people, you know, beating people. And, you know, they were doing stuff that people didn't see, but we found that about later. So, you know, they did that without the media, which is really an outrage, you know, to keep the media away. I mean, this is Bloomberg's New York at this point,
right.
You know, and so this is what they call free speech and democracy in New York at this point. So anyway, they took all the books. It was a great library. Amazing. Well, how can you run a library if you can't be in the park full time? You know, the books will disappear or whatever. You can't protect the books, you know. So anyway, they took everything and threw it into, like, dumpsters, you know, big container, you know, and then they took it down to the sanitation department depot. And they just threw it all on the floor in a big room, a huge room, and just dumped it all out there. And basically, you got 2 days to pick up your stuff.
Jeez.
So pretty much yesterday and I think today, or 3 days to pick up your stuff. I think today was the last cutoff. I think if people didn't pick up stuff today, they're throwing everything away. So the librarians went down there on Wednesday and found maybe half the books. Apparently, what I've heard, maybe they recovered upwards of 2,000 books. They're all beat up and a mess, you know, and they brought them down to the park, and they tried to set up the library again, and the library was again stopped from operating.
Mm.
And they told them, you can't have your books, and, you know, they again say either they threw them out of the park, or they basically, what I understand is they basically took the books to a storage area, and now they have them there. And so when I went there to the depot, I found about 6 cases of books that were still there. And lo and behold, I mean, I couldn't find my Pod Culture, but I found a High Times magazine, which was pretty funny. You know, and it was a tattered copy, really beaten up. And so there it was sitting next to a Bible that was tattered. I had to take that photo. I went over and gave it to the guys over, the folks over at High Times. I said, here's a memento from, you know, from the eviction. And basically, you know, they're trying to rebuild it, but we don't really know we don't really know where the books are now. They're kind of lost. Some of them are lost. Some of them may be in storage, but they're mostly, you know, in a state that are probably not really even very usable, you know, just beaten up. And so, you know, I really took offense of that, and that kind of drew me in some more. And I'm still trying to find my Pod Culture because I want to see the state of the book, and then I want to take a picture of it, and I want to show the world.
Yeah,
this is what they did to my book and many other books. This is what they, you know, this is how they treat, you know, what we're doing here in New York when, you know, it's a very civil, you know, a protest, really, in so many ways. And it's a great community that's been created that they're trying to destroy, as they're doing all over the country. They're afraid of us.
Yeah.
Because obviously, if they weren't afraid of us, they would let it go. But they don't want, you know, they see that we're, you know, knocking on the door of the power structure saying, hey, time for change. Time for big change.
No kidding.
And the question is, you know, in America, revolution's hard to come by. In a lot of other countries we've seen around the world, you know, popular uprisings can create revolutions. In America, you know, we haven't seen that for, you know, 200-plus years. So, you know, can we do this here in, you know, or not? You know, I mean, it's obviously there's a huge, you know, militarized force out there that's going to try and stop us, the police, the, everybody. So, I mean, hopefully it doesn't have to go down in a violent way, but it's just that we can win the hearts and minds of all the people out there. They can stop saying the stupidity of get a job, because there aren't a lot of jobs out there anyway. It's the reason why they're protesting, because they can't get jobs.
The irony.
You know, I've been reading all your posts and all the idiocy of what the anti-people, and I see a lot of that, you know, say on the Willie Nelson, you know, page that I administer, Facebook, a lot of get a job stuff, a lot of back and forth, because it's a little bit of a redneck crowd, you know, so, you know, this is what you're hearing around the country.
Yeah.
They're not empathizing as much as you would hope.
Yeah. So, well, I've been running some pictures from New York Times, from The New Yorker, and I've got a website, policymike.com. I'm showing some slides while you've been talking. I've been showing people pictures of this to hope they get the idea that what the perception that's being given here isn't true. And this a particularly moving poster that this woman is holding up in this one picture says, "Bloomberg, if you're so proud of your raid, why didn't you want anyone to see it?"
Exactly. So, well, you know.
And, you know, I saw that on the Portland coverage, too. You know, when they were sitting on the steel bridge, the 25 or so protesters who sat down and were, you know, picked up and moved with the plastic handcuffs, these were middle-aged women. These were union guys. These were guys with silver hair. I mean, this was not, you know, just hippie hacky sack being
They beat a city councilman in New York. You know, a city councilman went there, and he ended up getting beat. I mean, so, you know, they're going to go after anybody who they think is, you know, against them or something. You know, it's kind of an us versus them. And, you know, you should have seen the thin blue line of cops yesterday. I mean, wow. You know, there was so many police on that march, you know. But fortunately, you know, it's a peaceful crowd. You know, they just, you know, people want to go down there and have their say and march and chant and, you know, and create unity. So, you know, they're trying to break it up but not succeeding. And as we've learned, every time the police sort of intervene, it just builds the movement more. So, you know, if they would sort of back off a little bit, maybe, you know, maybe things would subside. In New York, if they would have backed off on the park, I mean, okay, some people were set on spending the winter there, but let's face it, you know, it's going to get really cold.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people could really live in that park when it starts snowing and stuff like that? Now, they were starting to build a wooden cabin in the park. Maybe that, you know, caused a bit of a problem. But but what happened was the first month there were no tents. Then suddenly in the second month, tents came in, and they didn't stop people. Maybe the police and the city decide, okay, let them have their tents. We'll use that as an excuse to get them out, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, no tents allowed. So once it went for about a month, you thought, oh, you know, maybe they don't mind. And then I read the story about the cabin they were building. They were foraging around downtown for wood and stuff like that and finding pallets and doors and this and that. And they were building a structure that was going to kind of be a protective structure. I never saw it being built. Maybe they never got it going. But I read about it, and I thought, wow, this is great. You know, I thought, you know, the day before the raid, I thought, hey, you know, look what's going on around the country, you know, where they're shutting down, you know, camps all over the place. Yet in New York, it's kind of like ongoing. And I thought, hey, you know, maybe we're doing something right here where the police are sort of backing off. But actually, they were just playing possum.
Yeah, you know, this.
You know, they were just waiting for their moment, you know, to go in there and, you know, and forcefully, you know, shut it down. And, you know, the police and Mayor Bloomberg will never be trusted again, in this city when it comes to, you know, protests. And, I mean, if they tell you one thing, expect the exact opposite. They're liars. And, you know, and they'll do anything to protect, you know, what they have here in New York. And all the complaints about stuff, businesses not doing business downtown, I don't understand it. I mean, there's more people down there than ever.
Yeah.
Maybe the protesters aren't buying too much stuff because they have food and they don't have that much money in their pocket. But what if all the tourists that go downtown and stop into a place to get a cup of coffee?
Sure.
You know, or get a sandwich or whatever. I mean, there's plenty of businesses. If anything, the businesses are having a problem because of all the barricades the police set up and people can't get to, you know, certain blocks. So blame the police for the barricades. Don't blame the protesters. This is the way they're managing this protest, and, you know, and they use that as another excuse to shut it down. The businesses are complaining. The neighborhood was really not complaining. The neighborhood just didn't like the drumming nonstop, and they didn't like, you know, the possibility of people, you know, pooping and peeing around the neighborhood again because they don't give them any place to go.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's no Porto Sands, although there were in the last few weeks, and then I think they've pulled those. You know, so everybody has to go into the shops and stuff and drive everybody crazy, you know, having to use, you know, the urinals and stuff like that and the toilets. So, you know, what are you going to do when you're trying to, you know, occupy? Well, so it's sort of like the city's plan again. Okay, don't give them, you know, anything that could give them any false sense of security that can stay longer.
But, you know, and there's something about that, you know, that issue, the sanitation issue, and the, what we were talking about earlier here of, oh, well, all these camps, you know, because of the food, they're attracting the homeless people and the drug addicts are showing up and so on. It's like, yeah, hey, look, we have homelessness and drug addiction. That's another part of this whole 1% thing. You're not paying attention to those kind of problems that are out there as well.
Exactly. That's part of the unity that other people are, you know, okay, there's been some problems down at Zuccotti Park with some, you know, occasional sort of, you know, crazy type person, you know, who causes a bit of a problem. They have their internal security, and every once in a while the police got to go and deal with a certain problem. But there have been no shootings, there's been no overdoses, you know, and there have been at some other places, you know, whether it's associated, like the Oakland, what didn't have anything to do with it, but it was nearby. There have been some overdose deaths at some of the camps, Vancouver, and but there's been just no on-site violence other than a stray occasional sort of issue that, you know, that you're going to have when you have a lot of people in one place.
Yeah.
So, you know, they just blow everything out of proportion, you know, to make it seem like, you know, it's a despicable kind of scenario of what's going on down there. When you go down, you go, wow, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
It's a really nice scene. It's, you know, there's a sort of a kookiness about it, you know, with certain people walking around with their individual, you know, signs and stuff, and they'll just talk about their thing and people soapboxing. But, you know, but that's free speech. Let people have their say. And you know, obviously the community is very democratic in terms of, you know, communicating with each other. There's really not a top-down. Maybe there's a little bit of an invisible top-down, but you don't really see it, you know. So basically, you know, people feel that they're making their own decisions.
Yeah.
And that's amazing, really. You know, obviously it makes it a little hard to do things because you want everybody involved and you want everybody to hear it, so you have to repeat it over and over again, but it's very democratic.
Yeah.
You just have to have a lot of patience and sit through the GAs, you know, because they go on a lot longer than they probably would if you didn't have to repeat it 20 times.
Right, if we could put a PA
up. If they let you have a megaphone or something, then you wouldn't have that problem.
Right.
But no, you can't even have sound.
Right, it's
you know,
ridiculous.
So it's all these things that, you know, that, well, they, you know, so they find an alternative, you know, using the people's mic, and that seems to work. You know, I mean, now that's kind of like mic check is sort of like the universal term, you know, for people to sort of focus attention.
Yeah.
You know, at the Rainbow Gathering, everybody goes, focus, 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 when they want to get people to focus attention in a large group. Focus, focus. So mic check is kind of the same thing.
Right.
And the Rainbow Principles run through this through Occupation Wall Street anyway, you know, of consensus, of sharing food, of sharing everything,
yeah,
basically, of living together as a community. What has happened to the Rainbow family when they go into national forests all over the country? They get same treatment.
Yeah,
they've
absolutely.
Been thrown out of forests. They've been arrested in the same way. You can't be here.
Yeah.
It's the same issue. Whose land? Whose property? Whose park?
Yeah, where
you know?
Can you just
who's
be?
Who's National Forest?
Yeah.
You know, and they throw you out when, like, hey, we're the taxpayers. You know, who owns what?
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, so there is a lot of comparisons to the Rainbow, which is fair. You know, not that the whole community looks like the Rainbow family, but the principles are there.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a good principle. That's sort of what drew me in, because I've been to the Rainbow gatherings, and I like those principles, the communal principles of, you know, of creating, you know, a large community, and everybody sort of pitching in.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and that's what's really been happening here. And so, I don't know. You know, I think it's great, but, you know, it's a struggle.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we've got you there, you know, with a direct line to what's going on there, so we can give people the unvarnished truth of what's going on. And Steve, we're at the end of the hour here, so I got to wrap it up.
Hey, thanks for giving me so much time. And I recommend people, please go to the Celeb Stoner and take a look at that, that page that I wrote, In Search of the Lost People's Library.
Yeah, it's really good.
Got the photos. You really see what things look like and what they did to the books and what they, and all the belongings that are sitting there are probably going to get trashed by tomorrow.
Yeah, check it out, celebstoner.com, for the latest in celebrity entertainment and cannabis news. Thanks, my man. Talk to you.
Thanks, bye.
All right, and we got to wrap things up here, but, you know, one other thing I'd like to point out, I keep hearing on this Occupy thing, oh, no, it's going to cost $8 million in overtime to clean up all of these parks. Do you realize that Mayor Bloomberg, last time he ran for re-election, you know, after it was a term limit thing, and he said, oh, no, I guess really I didn't mean that term limits apply to me. But anyway, when Bloomberg ran last time, you know what he spent on his re-election campaign? $102 million. So don't complain to me about $8 million to clean up a park when you're spending $102 million to get the cushy job you got. And that's his own money. The guy's a billionaire, right? So those arguments don't go well with me. And, you know, the other police propaganda argument that we're getting out here in Portland, Oregon, is the lieutenant who was on the local news saying, well, because of all these Occupy Portland demonstrations and having to have the police force for them, there was a rape call the other night, and it took us 3 hours to send someone out to that lady. As if, you know, right, they didn't have a whole bunch of other officers that were working drug cases at the time, perhaps, that they could have sent over on the rape case. Sorry, for those who have been fighting against the drug war, the actions of the police during this whole Occupy thing is nothing surprising. Long times to get to a 911 call? Tell that to my friends in the hood. They'll laugh you right out of the room. Talking about people's rights being trampled on, not being able to exhibit free speech, those of us in drug law reform have known a long time about this. We're glad that the rest of the country is starting to see things our way. Hey, that's all the time we've got, and this is it until December 5th. So thanks for joining us on the podcast. Those of you sticking around live, stick around for Hour 2 Toker Talk Radio. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.